Welcome to the Science Signaling Podcast for February 21st, 2017. I'm Annalisa Van Hook, and today I'll be talking with Antoine Carnoub about how Pentraxin-3 links increased PI3 kinase signaling to stem cell properties in basal-like breast cancer. Increased signaling through the phosphoinositide 3 kinase pathway, or PI3K pathway, is linked to various cancers, including breast cancer. Several PI3K inhibitors have been developed and are in trials as cancer treatments, but they've shown limited efficacy for treating basal-like breast cancers. In these types of breast cancer, the tumor cells show stem cell-like properties, and they are often more aggressive than other types of breast cancer, leading to a poorer prognosis for patients with these types of cancers compared to patients with other types of breast cancer. A group from Antoine Carnoub's lab at Harvard Medical School has found that hyperactivated PI3K signaling leads to increased abundance of a protein called Pentraxin-3 in basal-like breast cancer cells, and that this promotes stem cell-like traits. The abundance of Pentraxin-3 negatively correlates with patient prognosis, suggesting that Pentraxin-3 could be used as a biomarker for aggressive basal-like breast cancers, and that targeting this protein or the gene that encodes it might be useful for treating patients with basal-like breast cancer. Carnoub spoke to me from the Beth Israel Deaconess Medical Center in Boston. Hi, Dr. Carnoub. Welcome to the Science Signaling Podcast.
Thank you for having me.
What is basal-like breast cancer, and how does it differ from other types of breast cancer?
Basal-like breast cancers represent a molecular subtype that encompasses actually a heterogeneous mix of tumors. They are predominantly triple-negative tumors, that is, they are negative for ER, PR, as well as HER2. Their prognosis is different from others, is usually poor. They're diagnosed in mid-stages of progression, And they currently have no targeted therapies. Some BLBC patients do, however, respond to systemic therapies, but a good portion do not, and those have very poor outcomes and very high rates of recurrence. So finding clinically useful biomarkers as well as therapeutic targets in BLBC is really of paramount importance.
Basal-like breast cancer cells are described as having stem cell-like properties. Why does having stem cell-like properties make these types of cancers more aggressive?
We tend to think that the stem cell-like state of cancer cells resembles, to a great extent, an undifferentiated or a primitive state. And in this state, cells, we think, revive the expression of several genes and proteins that enable them to survive and spread, for example, and which can be critical and allowing such cancer cells to spread throughout the body or to withstand local or systemic therapies. So that's why we associate stem cell-like behavior with increased malignancy or aggressiveness.
How is PI3 kinase signaling involved in basal-like breast cancer?
The PI3 kinase pathway is found to be hyperactivated in basal-like breast cancers. And this is due to basically multiple reasons. I think one can group them into about four. First, we have several growth factors and growth factor receptors that are involved in BLBC. They're hyperactivated, and the signaling of those ligands and receptors involves activation of PI3K. So since we have a lot of aberrant growth factor and growth factor receptor signaling, we have a lot of PI3K signaling. The second reason is because BLBCs, basal-like breast cancers, they harbor activating mutations in PI3K, and that actually activates or hyperactivates the downstream signaling pathway. The third is that BLBCs, they exhibit inactivation or loss of two of the negative regulators of PI3K, and those are P10 and INPP4B. So that relieves the negative regulation that is exerted on PI3K, causing activation of the pathway. And a fourth reason is that some of the downstream effectors of PI3K, for example, AKT3, are found to be mutationally activated in basal-like breast cancers.
You surveyed the transcriptomes of basal-like breast cancer cells that have an activating mutation in phosphoinositide 3 kinase, or PI3K, and found that the expression of the gene encoding Pentraxin-3 was increased in these cells. How did PI3K signaling stimulate expression of Pentraxin-3, or PTX3?
we found that PI3K induced PTXD expression by an AKT NF-kappa B dependent pathway. The results we present in the paper basically suggest that inhibitors of AKT and or inhibitors of NF-kappa B derail the ability of PI3K to induce PTX3. Now, that said, PI3K was still able, even under these conditions, to still stimulate PTX3 production, albeit to a minimal extent. So we think that while the activation of PTX3 by PI3K is dependent on AKT NF-kappa B, it's only partially dependent on that pathway. So we think that there are likely additional PI3K-driven pathways that control its expression.
How does this increase in PTX3 expression affect the biology of breast cells?
We have shown that ectopic expression of PTX3-induced markers that are associated with cancer stem cells, and those markers are, for example, ALDH1 or CD44. And functionally, PTX3 overexpression allowed breast cancer cells to grow better in a 3D type format. Now, when we inhibited PTX3, we've also seen a dampening of all these traits. Now, ALDH and CD44 we use here as markers, but they're actually functional proteins. For example, ALDH is a metabolic protein, and CD44 is a signaling molecule that is involved in adhesion and invasion and survival, etc. So we think that by regulating these molecules, as an example, PTX3 might actually regulate other additional aggressive features of malignancy, and we're currently working on elucidating many of these.
What does pentraxin-3 or PTX3 do in normal cells?
So previous studies have reported functions for PTX3 in shielding dying normal cells from immune cell clearance. So we can imagine that cancer cells in our context may actually utilize PTX3 to fend off the immune system. Of course, this has to be proven, and we're working on this line of investigation. But as a first approximation, we think that when normal cells produce PTX3, it might enable them to interface with the immune system in a much better way and much more effective way. And we think that cancer cells may hijack that communication in order to navigate or negotiate through different tissues.
Do you know how PTX3 stimulates stem cell-like properties in breast cells?
At this point, we don't know how PTX3 stimulates stem cell traits. It is possible for PTX3 to act through its proper receptor on the cell surface, or even through other receptors to initiate signaling events that trigger such traits. At this point, PTX3's mechanism of action or mechanisms of action in these contexts are yet to be determined.
Earlier, you mentioned the need for more markers for basal-like breast cancers. Is pentraxin-3 going to be useful as a biomarker for basal-like breast cancer? And is there any way that you could use what you've learned about pentraxin-3 to treat basal-like breast cancers?
Our hope is for PTX3 to become a useful and clinically relevant biomarker for basal-like breast cancers and for it to be a therapeutic target in this context. So we have basically two pieces of information that we provide in this work. First, we've shown that elevated mRNA levels of PTX3 distinguish between poor prognosis and better prognosis basal-like breast cancers. We've also shown that inhibiting PTX3 expression dampens several malignant features of cancer cells, but this was done in experimental systems. So we think it is actually quite plausible for the protein of PTX3, and this time whether it is present in the blood or whether it's present in tumors, we hope that the levels of PTX3 protein would serve as clinically useful biomarker that could be used to stratify patients that could, for example, respond to therapy versus those that can't respond to therapy and need to be placed on different regimens. And conversely, we hope that since PTX3 was shown to be so vital for the actions of PI3 kinase in BLBC cells, we hope that inhibiting PTX3 would derail basal-like breast cancer cells and as such would prove successful in controlling these tumors experimentally, but obviously we want to move it to the clinic if enough data has been collected. So So we're working on vetting these ideas, but we're quite hopeful.
Given that pentraxin-3 functions in the immune system, does that present any problems for trying to target it to treat cancer?
Absolutely not. Actually, it could be viewed as an opportunity. So if we think that pentraxin-3 produced by breast cancer cells has both an action on the cancer cells themselves and has an activity on the neighboring immune cells. So we've shown in this paper that PTX3 can have activities that help cancer cells basically sitting in a dish. And we're surmising right now, we're hypothesizing that PTX3 produced by cancer cells can somehow polarize the immune system or can create an immune system that is favorable for tumor development. And this is a molecule that is used by malignant cancer cells actually to fend off the immune system. So if both ideas are correct, then targeting PTX3 could become really a holy grail of therapy, because at the same time, you would be depriving cancer cells of a factor they definitely need for their own survival. But perhaps you could also be, by inhibiting PTX3, reawakening an immune reaction against the tumors. And as such, you would actually be hitting two birds in one stone.
Thanks for talking with us, Tony.
Thanks for having me.
That was Antoine Carnoub discussing a paper published in the February 21st issue of Science Signaling by Thomas and colleagues. You can read that paper online at stke.sciencemag.org. The Science Signaling Podcast is a production of Science Signaling and the American Association for the Advancement of Science, advancing science, serving society. If you have any comments or questions, you can write to us at sciencesignalingeditors@aaas.org. I'm Annalisa Van Hook. On behalf of Science Signaling and AAAS, thanks for listening.